So what can we learn from this evening's two readings on this day of Pentecost? Well, one thing, well, not just the two readings, the psalm as well, because I realized as we listened to the psalm this evening, I think the word peradventure should be brought back into general conversation. It's much nicer than perhaps. Anyway, that's completely beside the point. In conversation with our tech guru and all-round awesome human Karen earlier, I said I was thinking of renaming these short Evensong thoughts from being sermuncles, as they have been ever since Andrew Gates, the Reverend Andrew Gates, gave them that name, to ranticles, because I seem to have been using these short times to get stuff off my chest, some of which goes all the way back to the unhelpful nonsense I was told to believe way back in my more conservative days. And Karen's response was great. Evensong with canticles and ranticles, she said. It could be the new name. In fact, the bit where the choir sing the two parts is also known as versicles and responses, so it could be evensong with versicles and canticles and ranticles. I think it could catch on. But maybe not this week, because I didn't find anything to rant about. Maybe I'll have to wait till we start the new season in the fall or something like that. I'm obviously getting mellow as the summer encroaches. Reading this evening's lessons, the ones set for the second service in the Revised Common Lectionary, didn't fit with the ranting vibe. So let's begin with Ezekiel for this evening. We don't really get a lot of Ezekiel through the year, and that's probably because Ezekiel is a really weird book. I mean, a lot of what is in Ezekiel is just plain odd. There are some freaky visions right from the start, some strange things that Ezekiel does to get his message across, and some very powerful images of the disobedience to the law that the house of Israel displays, and the results of such disobedience. It's a book guaranteed to give some vivid dreams if you decide it's your bedtime reading. Not least, that Valley of the Dry Bones, which we heard at this morning's service, where the bones are brought back together by the Spirit of God and have breath, life breathed into them through the Ruach, the Spirit of God. Scattered in between all those visions and judgments, there are, however, promises. Just like that Valley of the Dry Bones where new life is breathed into Israel, and today's passage. These are promises of Israel's restoration. In fact, starting in and following on from today's passage, the prophet goes into great detail of what should happen following the restoration of Israel, and what obedience to the law of justice, equity, and love, the kingdom of Shalom, will look like in Israel. And then in the midst of today's reading from Ezekiel, we have this beautiful image. A new heart I will give to you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinance. Then you shall live in the land I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. It's the second time in this book that Ezekiel refers to replacing a heart of stone with a heart of flesh, an image the prophet Jeremiah also uses in their writings. It's a vivid image that points to transformation and renewal, that the Spirit changes hearts, taking people beyond the written law into lives which embody the values of the law, an image which the first followers of Jesus were quick to jump on, and one which crops up in the letter to the Hebrews, as the anonymous author there quotes the Hebrew prophets. And the presence of such deeply resonant images in the midst of all the other parts of Ezekiel is a reminder that our scriptures, just like our community, just like our humanity, is not an homogeneous lump. There are within the writings themselves, even between chapters and verses in the same book, various images, even sometimes contradictions, as the writers work out their understandings on the page, reminding us that our scriptures are not well-worked-out doctrinal or systematic documents, but a mix of metaphor and song, poetry and myth, psalm and story and meditation and prayers and so much more. Which leads me on to a short thought on our reading from the Gospel of John this evening. This is John's version of the Pentecost reading. The Holy Spirit received by the first disciples as Jesus breathes into them in the upper room following the story of his resurrection. This is an altogether more intimate account of the Holy Spirit and the reception of the Holy Spirit by the apostles, and one which, if we were to take our scriptures literally, would seem to contradict the wham, bang, pizzazz of the Pentecost story that we had this morning from Acts 2, where the Spirit falls upon the apostles with tongues of fire and a sound of rushing wind, and various languages are spoken by those first believers. This story, like the Pentecost story in Acts, is not seeking to give us a definitive way of how the Holy Spirit acts, but a way of seeing the Spirit as reflective of the very essence, the breath of the resurrected Christ. It's a reminder for me that there is room for all. This intimate understanding of the Spirit, along with the full tilt roller coaster spirit of the other account. Just as there's space for vivid images and visions alongside powerful and deep metaphors of the human heart. God is a God of infinite variety and grace, meeting us where we are and drawing us not to be cookie-cutter Christians, but the human beings who God has made us to be, in all our diversity, difference, and wonderful variety. Thanks be to God. Amen.